Today is the seventh day of April. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It's great to be here with you today, locked and loaded with some Wind Farm coffee here to my right, a glass of water here to my left, or a bottle of water. The scriptures in front of me, the rolling hills of Tennessee, out before me, and us together here around the global campfire as we come into a safe oasis, a safe space and time for the work of the scriptures in our lives today. And that will lead us back into this final book of the Torah, the book of Deuteronomy. We're winding down, a couple days left of the book of Deuteronomy and the last things that Moses has to say. Today, chapter 31, verse 1 through 32, verse 27. So Moses went and spoke these words to all Israel, and he said to them, I am 120 years old today. I am no longer able to come and go, and Yahweh has said to me, you shall not cross this Jordan. It is Yahweh your God who will cross ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you, and you shall dispossess them. Joshua is the one who will cross ahead of you, just as Yahweh has spoken. And Yahweh will do to them just as he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and to their land when he destroyed them. And Yahweh will give them over before you, and you shall do to them according to all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or be in dread of them, for Yahweh your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Then Moses called to Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land which Yahweh has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall give it to them as an inheritance. And Yahweh is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. So Moses wrote this law and gave it to the priests, the sons of Levi, who carried the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh, and to all the elders of Israel. Then Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, at the time of the year of the remission of debts, at the Feast of Booths, when all Israel comes to appear before Yahweh your God, at the place which he will choose, you shall read this law in front of all Israel in their hearing. Assemble the people, the men and the women and the little ones and the sojourner who is within your gates, so that they may hear and so that they may learn and fear Yahweh your God and be careful to do all the words of this law. And their children, who have not known, will hear and learn to fear Yahweh your God all the days you live on the land which you are about to cross the Jordan to possess. Then Yahweh said to Moses, behold, the time for you to die is near. Call Joshua and present yourselves at the tent of meeting, that I may commission him. So Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves at the tent of meeting. And Yahweh appeared in the tent in a pillar of cloud, and the pillar of cloud stood at the doorway of the tent. And Yahweh said to Moses, behold, you are about to lie down with your fathers, and this people will arise and play the harlot with the foreign gods of the land into the midst of which they are going, and they will forsake me and break my covenant which I have cut with them. Then my anger will be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them and hide my face from them, and they will be consumed, and many evils and troubles will find them, so that they will say in that day, Is it not because our God is not among us that these evils have found us? But I will surely hide my face in that day because of all the evil which they will do, for they will turn to other gods. So now, write this song for yourselves and teach it to the sons of Israel. Put it in their mouths so that this song may be a witness for me against the sons of Israel. For when I bring them into the land flowing with milk and honey, which I swore to their fathers, and they have eaten and are satisfied and become fat, then they will turn to other gods and serve them and spurn me and break my covenant. Then it will be, when many evils and troubles have found them, that this song will answer them as a witness, for it shall not be forgotten from the mouths of their seed. For I know their intent, which they are developing today, before I have brought them into the land which I swore. So Moses wrote this song the same day and taught it to the sons of Israel. Then he commissioned Joshua the son of Nun and said, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall bring the sons of Israel into the land which I swore to them, and I will be with you." And it happened, when Moses finished writing the words of this law in a book, until they were complete, that Moses commanded the Levites who carried the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh, saying, "Take this book of the law, and place it beside the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh your God, that it may be there as a witness against you. For I know your rebellion and your stiff neck. Behold, while I am still alive with you today, you have been rebellious against Yahweh. How much more then, after my death? Assemble to me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in their hearing, and call the heavens and the earth to witness against them. For I know that after my death you will act corruptly and turn away from the way which I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the last days, for you will do that which is evil in the sight of Yahweh, provoking him to anger with the work of your hands." Then Moses spoke in the hearing of all the assembly of Israel the words of this song until they were complete. "Give ear, O heavens, and let me speak, and let the earth hear the words of my mouth. Let what I have learned drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, as the droplets on the fresh grass, and as the showers on the herb. For I proclaim in the name of Yahweh, ascribe greatness to our God, the Rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are just. A God of faithfulness and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. They have acted corruptly toward him. They are not his children because of their defect, but are a perverse and crooked generation. Do you thus repay Yahweh, O people who are wickedly foolish and without wisdom? Is not he your father who has bought you? He has made you and established you. Remember the ancient days. Consider the years from generation to generation. Ask your father and he will declare to you, your elders and they will speak to you. When the Most High gave the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of man, he set the boundaries of the peoples according to the number of the sons of Israel. For Yahweh's portion is his people. Jacob is the allotment of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the howling waste of a wilderness. He encircled him. He cared for him. He guarded him as the pupil of his eye. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that hovers over its young, he spread his wings and caught them. He carried them on his pinions. Yahweh alone guided him, and there was no foreign god with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, and he ate the produce of the field. And he made him suck honey from the rock, and oil from the flinty rock, curds of cows and milk of the flock, with fat of lambs and rams, the breed of Bashan, and goats with the finest of the wheat, and of the blood of grapes you drank wine. But Jeshurun grew fat and kicked. You grew fat, thick, and sleek. Then he abandoned God who made him, and treated the rock of his salvation with wicked foolishness. They made him jealous with strange gods. With abominations they provoked him to anger. They sacrificed to demons who were not God, to gods whom they have not known, new gods who came lately, whom your fathers did not dread. You neglected the rock who begot you, and forgot the God who brought you forth. And Yahweh saw this and spurned them, because of the provocation of his sons and daughters. Then he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a perverse generation, sons in whom is no faithfulness. They have made me jealous with what is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their idols. So I will make them jealous with those who are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a wickedly foolish nation. For a fire is kindled in my anger, and it burns to the lowest part of Sheol, and it consumes the earth with its produce, and it sets on fire the foundations of the mountains. I will heap calamities on them. I will exhaust my arrows on them. They will be wasted by famine and consumed by plague and bitter destruction. And the teeth of beasts I will send upon them, with the venom of crawling things of the dust. Outside the sword will bereave, and inside terror, both choice man and virgin, the nursing baby with the man of gray hair. I would have said, I will cut them to pieces. I will cause the memory of them to cease from men, had I not feared the provocation by the enemy, lest their adversaries misjudge, lest they say, our hand is triumphant, and Yahweh has not done all this. Luke 12, 8 through 34. And I say to you, everyone who confesses me before men, the Son of Man will confess him also before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him. Now when they bring you before the synagogues, and the rulers, and the authorities, do not worry about how or what you are to speak in your defense, or what you are to say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. And someone from the crowd said to him, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me. But he said to him, Man, who appointed me a judge or arbitrator over you? Then he said to them, Watch out and be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. And he told them a parable, saying, The land of a rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself, saying, What shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops? Then he said, This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now who will own what you prepared? So is the one who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." And he said to his disciples, "For this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat, nor for your body as to what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. They have no storeroom nor barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than the birds. And which of you, by worrying, can add a single cubit to his lifespan? Therefore, if you cannot do even a very little thing, why do you worry about other matters? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. But I tell you, not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass in the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not seek what you will eat and what you will drink, and do not keep worrying. For all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek. But your Father knows that you need these things. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for your Father is well pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give it as charity. Make yourselves money belts which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near, nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Psalm 78, 32 through 55. In spite of all this, they still sinned and did not believe in his wondrous deeds. So he brought their days to an end in futility and their years in sudden terror. When he killed them, then they sought him and returned and sought earnestly for God. And they remembered that God was their rock, and the Most High God their Redeemer. But they deceived him with their mouth, and lied to him with their tongue. For their heart was not prepared to remain with him, nor were they faithful in his covenant. But he, being compassionate, atoned for their iniquity, and did not destroy them. And he abounded in turning back his anger and did not arouse all his wrath. Thus he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that goes and does not return. How often they rebelled against him in the wilderness and grieved him in the wasteland. Again and again they tested God and pained the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power. The day when he redeemed them from the adversary, when he performed his signs in Egypt and his miracles in the field of Zoan, and turned their rivers to blood and their streams they could not drink. He sent among them swarms of flies which devoured them, and frogs which destroyed them. He gave also their crops to the grasshopper, and the fruit of their labor to the locust. He killed their vines with hailstones, and their sycamore trees with frost. He gave over their cattle also to the hailstones, and their herds to bolts of lightning. He sent upon them his burning anger, fury and indignation and distress, a band of destroying angels. He leveled a path for his anger. He did not hold back their soul from death, but gave over their life to the plague. So he struck all the firstborn in Egypt, the first of their vigor in the tents of Ham. But he led forth his own people like sheep, and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. He led them safely, so that they did not fear, but the sea covered their enemies. So he brought them to his holy land, to this hill country, which his right hand had acquired. He also drove out the nations before them, and appointed them for an inheritance by measurement, and made the tribes of Israel dwell in their tents. Proverbs 12, 21 through 23. No misfortune befalls the righteous, but the wicked are filled with calamity. Lying lips are an abomination to Yahweh, but doers of faithfulness are his delight. A prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims folly. So in Deuteronomy today, we witnessed the transfer of power. So we are seeing the emerging generation begin to take control. Moses appoints Joshua. And under Joshua's leadership, the children of Israel will soon cross the Jordan. We will finally get to the other side of the Jordan River in this story and finally enter the Promised Land. We also saw, well, a proposed transfer of power in the Gospel of Luke. Jesus is teaching. Somebody interrupts his teaching, saying, "Please tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me," disrupting what's going on, which launched Jesus, first of all, to go, "Man, who am I? Like, what are you bringing this to me for?" But then Jesus entered into a teaching about money and possessions. He says a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth but not have a rich relationship in God, with God. He then explains, revealing how our pursuit of money, like our own strength, pursuing money, clothing, or food, pulls us into this place that spins with anxiety and worry, one that most of us spend our lives spinning in, because we're trying to figure out how to manage all this. This is thousands of years old, and Jesus has said these words. Things have not changed that much. We worry about how much money we have. We worry about looking hip and fashionable. We can spend an hour, I know this to be the truth, just trying to decide what kind of food and then where we might eat dinner. These things, according to Jesus, are not all there is to life. Jesus invites us to slow down. Like, that is such an incredible piece of wisdom. Just slow down a little bit. Look around. For Jesus, he's saying, look at the birds. Look at them. Listen, they're not worried, but they get cared for. Look over here at these flowers. They're temporary. They're beautiful. And a necessary part of God's creation, more beautiful than the robes of Solomon. If God cares so wonderfully for flowers, Jesus says, the things that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he's certainly going to care for you. Slow down. Why do you have so little faith? So this tornado of worry and anxiety that we constantly spin in isn't getting us anywhere. It's distracting us from our true source of life and provision. Jesus said, look, can all these worries, can this anxiety, is all this that you're carrying around going to add a single moment to your life? And if it's not going to add a single moment to your life, what's the use of worrying over bigger things? So in all of this, Jesus is inviting us into freedom. But in order to get there, we have to be willing to step off this throne, to transfer the power and authority of our lives over to God. I mean, we already know this. Ironically, we already know this. It's like Moses was saying, it's not on the other side of the sea for you to understand. It's right here. You know this already. We already know this. But knowing it and doing it are different things. And so as we continue to move into this new month and committing ourselves to doing and not just hearing, to do what we know will change things even in this month. Let's not worry. Let's have faith. Let's trust. And while we're doing all that, let's remember Jesus' closing remarks. Your heavenly Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need. So don't be afraid, little flock. It gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom. So, Holy Spirit, come into that. We certainly invite you into the anxiety and worry that is ever present in our lives, constantly swirling around us. And then this picture that Jesus gives of another way of approaching these things. Like, it doesn't eliminate them. It just changes the way we view them. So give us eyes to see and ears to hear and perspective. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app. These are home base. So be familiar with home base. Get connected to home base. And while you're getting connected, check out the Daily Audio Bible shop. There are a lot of resources and a lot of categories there that we've developed over the years. Everything from the Breathing Prayer book to a freshly roasted bag of Wind Farm coffee or tea, and a lot in between. So check out the Daily Audio Bible shop. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you. If the mission to bring the spoken word of God read fresh every day and offered freely to anyone who will listen anywhere on this planet, any time of day or night, and to build community around this rhythm, the rhythm of showing up for each other, showing up for ourselves, so that nobody has to be alone. If that is life-giving to you, thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you are using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. It is the little red button up at the top, or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I am Brian. I love you, and I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Good morning. This is Leah calling from Central Texas to lift up Generation Z. I am just overwhelmed when I see the work that God is doing in this generation of college students and younger. It's amazing to hear of events happening like at University of Pittsburgh just this past weekend. Thousands of students coming to worship and proclaim God as their God and Christ as their Savior, and thousands being baptized in the name of Jesus. And I know right now there is an event called Fountain Mall 72. It's 72 hours of prayer at Fountain Mall at Baylor University, and students are seeking the Lord and seeking revival and renewal of hearts and minds. And so would you just join me in covering this event in prayer? Father God, we know that you are Jehovah Sidkenu, you are our righteousness. And I pray that as these students seek you and seek your righteousness, Father, that you would just pour your spirit out on these events, that these students would be led to truth, to understanding of who Jesus was and who he is and what that means to them, Lord. And I just pray protection for any attacks of the enemy, Lord, that they would just be thwarted. We know that victory belongs to Jesus, and we claim that over Fountain Mall 72 this week at Baylor. Lord God, that you would just do a miraculous work and that many would be baptized in the name of Jesus and come to know you. Thank you for the revival that you are doing across the nations and across our world, Lord God. We love you and we trust you. Amen.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible family. It's Soaring on Eagle's Wings from Canada. And Rebecca, oh, I'm so excited that you have an award for the Employee of the Year. Oh, God has blessed you. You deserve it. I hear in your voice the sort of person you are, the concern that you have for others. And now also, God, I pray that Rebecca will be settled in her mind about this apartment that you have given her, Lord Jesus. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful person she is. And the blessings, oh, pour them out on her this year, Lord, as she continues to do her very best in her job. Okay, and I also want to pray for David. You're just out of prison, and it seems as if you're being tugged back and forth by, things in your head and all that. Abba, Father, he needs people round about him, Lord, to encourage him. If he needs a place to live, a job, you will provide all those things, Father. And like-minded men who are able to walk him through this path that he's going. Lord God, protect him from the enemy who would want to take him out and take him back to where he was. I want to pray for Andy, the 10-year-old with leukemia, who has a fever, high fever, back in hospital. And I want to pray for Bart's friend Van, who had the tumor removed. And he also has an infection, it seems, both of these people. God Almighty, once again, I come to you, the great physician. Be very near to these two. Be with their families and who are so concerned. And I pray that the doctors, Lord, would have the right treatment, that these temperatures that are invading their bodies will be gone. I speak the name of Jesus over them for healing.
I feel prompted to just reach out and request prayer for myself. My name is Sandra. I've been in a state of severe depression and anxiety over the last 6 weeks, and feel very alone, and God's not hearing me, and life isn't worth living. I'm wanting to give up, and I just really pray that you would plead with God on my behalf to bring me back to a state of full health and strength, and that I might be able to use what God's given me to honor him and serve him. Now I've been out of work and not able to work, and I'm isolating myself here at home. And I just really need your prayers, and just really cover you going to the throne of grace on my behalf. Thank you so much.
Old man on the prairie, this is God's life speaker. I just had to giggle with joy when I heard you report about your pastor. I think it was the community prayers, the 21st of March, at about 56 minutes into the community prayers. And what a praise that he's feeling better, that he's walking a block to his mailbox, that he's listening to DAB. Hi, Pastor, friend of Old Man on the Prairie. Would love to hear your voice. I just think that is such a super praise. And thank you for calling back in. It is so heartwarming when we get to hear the praises, when we get to know that those prayers were heard, because a lot of times, you know, many of us think our prayers aren't being heard, but they're somewhere buried in the hours of community prayer, but they are heard and they are being prayed over and over. There's multiple prayers going on for a lot of people that make requests. Everybody that makes a request, it gets prayed. So glory to God. Such good news. Keep walking. Whole thing is to just keep moving. Heavenly Father, you are an amazing God. You know our timeline, and we may have a diagnosis, but you give us the prognosis, and we can set our minds on things above, and we can set our lives to bring you glory. So thank you for this awesome praise report from an awesome God. And we just praise your name, singing hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good afternoon. This is my joy. I give God all the glory and all the praise. For my 90 years, I'm still excited and praising God for these wonderful years. I've had a lot of ups and downs, a lot of valleys, but I'm on the mountaintop right there, and I give God the glory. Over the 90 years, I've seen a lot of death. Five sisters, two brothers, three children, nephews. God has just been so good, though. He's given me a lot of joy. It took five marriages for me to find out marriage wasn't for me. But I give God the glory that I finally woke up. He told me to read Galatians 5:1. And I was going back to the marriage that I had just left. But when I got to read Galatians 5:1, I didn't go back anymore. I let it alone. And I do everything I can to please God and my family. I love each and every one of you. And I pray along with everybody that comes on and pray, because I love you. I love Jill and Brian and Ezekiel, and pray that they will continue to have joy and love for the broadcast.
Hello, this is Amy calling from Troutdale, Oregon, actually by way of Cedar Park, Texas, this week. But just heard some prayer requests on after the March 31st message, and wanted to cover those in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you now, God, just with thankful hearts, Lord, worshipful hearts, praising you for who you are, what you've done. We thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you and praise you for making a way for us, God, to be able to come before you like this. Lord, I bring before you Patricia, Pam, and Courtney, and these three women are all dealing with different things, different diagnosis. Patricia has cancer. Pam is in the hospital with a bowel obstruction, and now it seems like there are complications coming after that. And then Courtney, Lord, the young gal that Kristen, aka Christ in Me, knows, Lord, and as she is maybe physically recovered from being hit by that truck a number of months ago, Lord, that inside her heart and her mind, Lord, there's just so much turmoil that needs healing, Lord. God, you know each of these women. You know each of their struggles, their physical struggles, their emotional struggles, their spiritual struggles. And God, we pray now in Jesus' name that you would step in and meet each one of these women, Patricia, Pam, and Courtney, right where they are. Lord, that you would be their salvation, whatever form they need that to be in right now. God, that you would be their comfort, their healing, their relief. God, would you heal them in Jesus' name? And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.